Trust you're all well. Happy Pentecost. Trust you're all well. Trust you're all fine. I'm fine. We're all fine. Or maybe not. I came across an interesting story about Paddy McCoy, who said he was fine. And he's an elderly Irish farmer. And he'd loaded up his favourite cow, Bessie, and he was taking her off somewhere. And there was a delivery truck, went straight across a crossing and rammed into him. Poor Bessie was in an awful state. So Paddy decided to prosecute the delivery truck company. And so there they were in court, and the hotshot solicitor from the delivery company asked Paddy, he said, at the scene of the accident, did you say, when asked, that you were fine? And he said, well, it's like this. I just loaded up my favourite cow into the truck. No. Did you say at the scene of the accident that you were fine? I said, well, I'd got Bessie into the truck, and he said, the solicitor interrupted yet again, and he said, my lord, I'm just trying to establish the fact that at the scene of the accident, that this man actually said that he was fine. Could you get him to answer that question? But by which time, the judge was a little bit interested in the story. So he said, no, carry on. So Paddy continued. He said, well, I just got Bessie into the truck and we're heading off, and this delivery truck came straight across the crossroads and rammed my car, and we ended up in the ditch, and poor Bessie was in a terrible state, groaning and moaning. Fortunately, a policeman came along from the Garda, and he realised what was going on. And he pulled out his gun and put Bessie out of her misery. And then he came over to me with his gun still in his hand and said, how are you? Your Honour, how would you reply? So we're all fine, okay? Everybody's fine today. Now, there's not a lot of connection with that and what I want to talk about, other than this, that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. This is the day that the church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, as Ruth has already said, Christ with us all the time, the third person of the Trinity, and he knows what's going on. He knows the outside from the inside. He speaks to our hearts. He knows what we're thinking, sometimes embarrassingly, and he knows what our state of mind is. And the Holy Spirit is given to the church. He's promised to the church by Jesus. He came on the day of Pentecost. He led the church in the advance of the gospel and establishing churches all over the Roman Empire. And all sorts of interesting things were going on as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's clear from Paul's teaching elsewhere, he says that basically, you become a Christian not by trying to be religious or trying to be good or trying to be kind. That's not what makes you a Christian. You become a Christian by believing the message of Jesus. And when you believe the message of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to your life and dwells with you. That's how you become a Christian. In fact, Paul even says that if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, the Spirit of Christ within you, then you actually don't belong to Christ, because it's the Spirit that brings us into the body of Christ. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, which is the passage for today. And if you want to follow it along, it's page 1153 in the Pew Bibles. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verses, just the first 11 verses there, which is Paul talking about spiritual gifts and how things were supposed to be happening within the church. Things got a little bit out of hand at Corinth, and he's just giving some information, some instruction about how things should take place. So it comes on to spiritual gifts. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who's speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Amen. So as we look at this passage, actually this is just going to sound really weird, this a little interruption on what I want to say. I just wonder if the Lord wants to say to somebody here this morning that actually he likes your singing. He likes your singing. You're just sitting there and you're just wondering what's this all about, and actually as you've been singing the hymns, the Lord has been thinking about you and says, I like your singing. If that encourages you, then may that be. Let me go into the passage here. Just verse 4, the point about this is there's a variety of activity. What was going on in Corinth was that there was just so many things were happening. It was not dull and predictable in these services. And Paul's saying, he lists three things there. He says the different kinds of gifts, verse 4, the different kinds of service, and the different kinds of working. And there's a kind of Trinitarian message there, because the gifts come from the Spirit, the Lord. You've got the Spirit, the Lord, and God. So it's just kind of a hint of the Trinity there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all working together. But that was being manifest in the life of the church. So the different kinds of gifts. So that's charismata in the Greek. I'm not a Greek student. I lay my cards on the table right at the start. Charismata, grace made real, grace made manifest. Just, you know, a wonderful idea that God has grace for us and he gives grace to us in different ways in our lives. And here's a gift, grace made actual, charismata. And apparently the modern Greek, this the Bible is written in Koine Greek, obviously 20 centuries back, but modern day Greek has the same word, and that means birthday gift. Birthday gift. What a nice idea that when we become Christians, when we're born again into the body of Christ, that he gives us a gift. He drops a grace into our lives. So gifts, charismata of service, the different kinds of service, diakoneia, from which we get the word deacon, which means servant, so you're kind of servant of the church. And the idea there is that, you know, God gives to our lives different things, and as we serve, God enables those things to come out. So he brings out of us what he's put into us. So we serve by what God has actually put into us. So there are different kinds of service, and then different kinds of working. I saw that word and I thought, I've got no idea what that is as distinct from the others. So I thought, I'm going to ask Claire. And Claire didn't know either. So we talked about this. I thought, right, to the commentaries. And it actually means in the Greek, it's, forgive my pronunciation, but it's energonata, or energy, if you like, energonata, which is God's energy going into us. Different kinds of working is God's energy coming into us. So God empowers us and energizes us for different things which we do. So there are different kinds of working. So in all this kind of broad listing of gifts of service and working, you know, God is at work. He's doing stuff in us and through us. The great variety of it, and that's what happens. Just different things are happening, but it's God's Spirit which is coordinating and organizing and connecting it all, appointing things as he wishes. So there's no place for pride, there's no place for jealousy, there's no place for competition. It's organized and distributed by the Holy Spirit within us. Stuff happens. Stuff was happening in that church. And the Spirit, when he's given free rein, he produces results. Changed lives, transformed relationships, increasing congregations, effective testimony, and released talents. Things happen when the Spirit has his way in our lives. Samuel Chadwick, I came across this quote. He was a Methodist preacher, the early 20th century, and he kind of went through a crisis, so it seems. He was a kind of preacher, and he was just so frustrated, he was getting nowhere. But he had some experience of the Spirit coming to his life. And he went on subsequently to become the principal of Cliff College in Sheffield, which is a training college, and still there today, training college for Methodist preachers. But he said this about his experience. He said, "Every part of my being wakened up. I didn't get a new set of brains, but a new mentality. I didn't get a new faculty of speech, but I got a new effectiveness of speech. I didn't get a new dictionary, but I got a new Bible that came alive to him. Immediately, I was a new creature with the same basis of natural qualities, energized, quickened, reinforced into bigger vitality and effectiveness that nobody could have dreamed possible. This is what happens when the Spirit comes," said Samuel Chadwick. Change takes place. You know, the grace, the power, the loveliness of God at work in our lives produces change and moves us from simply what we are to, as we had so fantastically illustrated with the children's talk, actually, you know, the air comes, the water comes, the fire comes, the power comes, as it were, and we become what we're really meant to be in Christ. That's what the Spirit does. So it's for the common good. I want to do basically two things just now. I want to kind of make a few comments about this list of gifts, these nine gifts that I mentioned here, and then I've got 3 points coming out of that. So all that before I give us a moment or two of quiet for the Holy Spirit to hopefully just flutter through our congregation this morning. But let's look at these gifts from verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." It's a manifestation, it's the becoming apparent, it's the becoming visible of the Spirit of God. And it's for the common good. It's not for self-gratification, as it were. It's for the building up of the body. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's for the common good. "To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom." You could see this in the life and ministry of Jesus again and again and again. You can see this in different people's lives. You can see this in people who have long walked with Christ and got their heads into the Bible and have got a grip on this, and it's got a grip on them, that when they speak, there's wisdom that comes from them. It can come from the most unlikely of people who just the Spirit kind of drops a message into your heart or to your mind to share with somebody, and it's just laden with the wisdom that comes from heaven. That's what the Spirit does. He drops wisdom into a person's life that can be shared. And it gives life and it gives encouragement and it gives direction for people. The Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. That's, again, it's from the Spirit. It's just supernaturally, somebody knows something about you. not in an embarrassing or dark way, but in an encouraging way. This has happened to me on a number of occasions when people have come up to me, and they've been reading my mail, that they've known what's been going on the inside, and they've said something to me, and it's just brought huge encouragement to me to direct me and to help motivate me. But it's a gift, you know. The Spirit gives it to people, and it can be, you know, the most unlikely of people. He just gives, I've just seen something for you, or I just feel I want to let you know that whatever it is. Or, as of this morning, perhaps the Lord saying, "I like your singing." But it's a supernatural thing. It's God's Spirit giving to a person something that is going to be for the building up of another person or for the congregation. It's a word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Again, it's a gift of faith. Just to say what this is not. This is not the faith by which we believe in Jesus and are saved. It's not saving faith, because that's common to all of us. When we believe in Jesus, it's our faith that he's counted for righteousness, and we're brought into the body of Christ at that point, and the Spirit comes to our lives. So it's not saving faith. It's not optimism. There are optimists and there are pessimists. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a gift of faith here. It's not faithfulness in the sense of just kind of keeping going and always turning up on time and doing that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a gift of faith from the Holy Spirit, which enables a person to see, in a sense, the hand of God in a situation, to see what's invisible and the way God is leading, and it brings encouragement to those as that's articulated. Fantastic that that gift would be manifest in Kirk session meetings, for example, when you need wisdom. Now, you're all addicts for Kirk session meetings. Two in 2 weeks, is it? It's going to be great because there's going to be somebody there with a gift of faith that will just enable you to see the way forward and to believe God rather than thinking it's all up to us and all what we can do. So a gift of faith and enables people to embark on amazing projects and for growth and development. We need that, don't we? And that gift to percolate and to affect us all is such a help. Because we're all creatures of our culture, and I think our culture defaults towards the unbelief and towards the skeptical and towards the cynical. So a person with a gift of faith is going contrary to the culture, but boy, does that bring help and encouragement to the church. I read this quote, "Faith is the bird that knows the dawn and sings while it's still dark." Faith is the bird that knows the dawn and sings while it's still dark. So faith in your life enables you to see the invisible God and to live in light of the invisible God rather than simply what we see. So there's faith, there's healing. Wow, healing. Wouldn't we just love to have more of that? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I bet there's an awful lot of us here this morning who've got some ache or pain or something going on in their bodies who think, boy, I really wish that could get fixed. And in the Corinthian church, you go to church to get fixed, as it were. There's faith, there's healing there. This is not in contradiction or in conflict with NHS and doctors and so on. It's all part of God's healing. But so often we've ended up just kind of putting all our faith in the NHS and doctors and medicines and so on, when actually there is a supernatural gift of healing and people can be healed. We have got people primed and ready and keen, sensible, good people who are going to be at the back of the church there and over there, I think, is that right? At the end of the service, who would love to pray for you. They're not going to guarantee healing, but they'd love to pray for you and to commit you to the Lord and to ask for his touch in your body. So, gift of healing, oh yes, please, more of that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we see more of that taking place? Gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. What's that? Well, I guess it's all sorts of things. In the ministry of Jesus, it would have been like getting the coin out of the fish's mouth, or of walking on water, or the feeding the 5,000. And I find it fascinating that Paul is saying in the church in Corinth, there were people with a gift of miraculous powers. Now, that would have been interesting to be in that congregation, wouldn't it? Just to see what's going on. Wasn't all confined to the ministry of Jesus. It was actually happening in the church. Gifts of miraculous powers. Yes, please, more of that. Prophecy. Again, that's something, in fact, I happen to know John was speaking about this at the baptismal service, it was a couple of weeks ago. Wonderful service. And he's speaking about the gift of prophecy. And I personally know of two people who felt God say something to them directly during that service. Prophecy, you know, it's a message from God. It's not like you can make it happen. It's a message from God because he chooses to say something either for you or for the congregation or for another person. And it's so encouraging because it builds you up. We had some friends over for a meal on Thursday evening, and they were talking about their adult daughter and her family. They're rather in a difficult spot trying to navigate their way through some career change and house move and stuff like that. And they were umming and ahhing about whether they should go to their house group. And their thoughts was, oh, it's all so predictable. You know, they go, they do this, that, and the other. And at the end, they have a time of silence and wait for something to happen, and nothing generally does happen. And then they go home. And but they decide to go. And so there came the time of silence, and one person said to Michelle, I've just seen this picture, and described this image, which actually matched their life situation perfectly. Really encouraging image. I've just seen this picture for you. And then another person in the house group said, I've just seen exactly the same thing. And then another person at church on Sunday said, I've seen exactly the same thing. How encouraging. How encouraging when you're just kind of facing difficulty in life and all of a sudden God speaks into it and it enables you to navigate your way through. Gift of prophecy. Oh, yes, please. In fact, Paul later says, would that you'd all prophesy. So prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. The person that can actually suss things out. The person that can tell that when a person's speaking, they've actually got a hidden agenda, that person. Or a person that can say, actually, yeah, it seems really nice on the outside, but actually it's a little bit dark there. And that's extremely helpful to know whether a person is speaking from their own flesh, as it were, or from Satan, because there is an evil one who wants to tempt and direct and distract, or from the Spirit of God. So somebody who can say, yeah, we need to listen to this one, or not so sure about that, is very helpful, distinguishing of spirits. Tongues, speaking in different kinds of tongues, it's a gift. It's not a problem. It's a gift. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. People spoke in other languages. And in the church, it seems that, or in individuals, it seems like this was more of a private prayer language that enables people to connect with God. But when linked with interpretation of tongues, it can be a message from God into a congregation. The tongue speaking kind of like gets everybody's attention, and then the interpretation comes, which is kind of, in a sense, prophecy that is a message from God. So these are the list as it appears in this first part of Corinthians. There are other gifts that are mentioned. They're all there to be exercised for the common good and to build us up together. So I want to hang three things on this, if I may, and hope you'll come with me on this one. The first one is, do you think we could cope with a bit more of this? Do you think, as a congregation, we could cope with a bit more of this being manifest? You know, the Spirit making Himself real. Are you thirsty for a bit more of this in your own life? I just love that. By the way, congratulations, Ruth, on the bubble machines. Wow, fantastic. It really came off. But didn't you, I don't know what you were thinking, but I just love the kids kind of going at it up here, trying to pop the bubbles and so on. And that's what kids do. But it's all a wonderful illustration, you know, because we were singing, weren't we, about Holy Spirit come descend or whatever it was. I forget the exact line of the hymn. But you know, the kids were just going for it. And of course, I was at the back. You know, I don't do that kind of thing in church. But what's our reaction to the possibility of more of the Holy Spirit having His way within our congregation, within our lives personally? Is it, yeah, just want to, more of that, more? Or is it, so where are you? Answer it to yourself, not to me. Because, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, having full freedom, access to our lives, to our congregation, to the decisions and the activities of the church. Wow. That'd be great. More, please. So that's the first thing. Can we cope with a bit more of this? Secondly, and it's obvious through this whole passage, what the Spirit does is He makes us participators, not observers. You know, we're all in this. Just look at the words. He says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So it's not just me because I'm up here at the front, or Ruth or John or whoever. It's not just those people. but to each one. We're all on the team. Do you remember those awful moments at school when, you know, you're doing sports and two teams were picked and two captains were picked and then they had to kind of pick, and you always kind of go for the best players and so on and you kind of argue with that, but wasn't it dreadful to be left to the last few to be picked, if that was you? But the Holy Spirit has actually picked you. You're on the team. He makes us participators, not observers. To each one, you know, it says, to one such, to another, 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 and still another. We are not observers of the Christian life. We are participators in this. And we're all on the team. We all get to play. And we all join in the fun of popping the bubbles and the Holy Spirit being at work. We're all in on it. The Spirit enables that. He gives to us. He's so generous. He gives to us. So that's the second thing. He makes us participators, not observers. Could we cope with more of this? He makes us participators, not observers. And finally, it's the manifestation of the Spirit. It's the making present, the making apparent of the Spirit. God, frustratingly to me, is hidden. the hiddenness of God. We don't see him with our eyes. We don't hear him, except exceptionally, as it were. We can't go somewhere in the world and say, that's where he is, as it were. He's everywhere, and because he's everywhere, it's hard to see him. There's the hiddenness of God. But the Holy Spirit manifests through these gifts. You know, he makes himself visible, if you like, through these gifts. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. And I want to say, somewhat provocatively, that what's written in Corinthians, however they were working it out in their church gatherings and so on, what's written there is to be normal, not abnormal. And whatever we have 20 centuries later, whatever we have culturally, church historically, etc., whatever we have needs to embrace what was normal in the New Testament and to experience that here. Okay, I've been coming to the church, I think it's about 6 years now. We love it. We love you. And when you first go to a church, it's all, oh, where do I sit and who do I relate to? And you have a chat about this, that, and the other, and you kind of mingle a little bit or you feel awkward and so on. But then you kind of settle down. We used to sit up there, actually, for a while. Yes, hi. you're in my pew up there, by the way. We used to sit up there. But then, I don't know quite why, but we kind of gravitated, and now Claire and I sit back there. So we know where we sit now. We know which pew we're in. And we don't have to decide as we walk in the door where we're going to sit. That's decided for us. And we also know what goes on in the service. We know that, you know, there's a quiet time of quiet at the start, and we sing, and then, you know, we sing the amen at the end, and, you know, the kind of routine of it all and so on, the predictability of it all. And I'm not using that pejoratively. I want to say, hear me on this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with sitting in the same pew each week. There's nothing wrong with that. Although I tend to think it'd be great if we could just kind of reshuffle the cards and all sit somewhere else for a change and get to know a different group of people. I think that'd be quite novel. But there's nothing wrong with the predictability and the familiarity of things. But along with that can come a lowering of expectations. So we come to church, we consume the service, as it were, we observe the service, or we participate in some way or another, and then we leave in the same way that we came. I want to, and I'm sure you agree with me on this, I want to be able to leave church with a sense that I've met God. I want to be able to leave church saying, wow, that was amazing. That was remarkable. God was there. I am so encouraged. Wouldn't you like to leave church like that? Have our expectations dimmed over the years? Do we want just, again, to take the lid off and have the Spirit just kind of blow through us, raise our expectations, deal with some of the hardnesses that have built up over the years, bring freshness and vitality to us so that we go out in faith, excitement, anticipation, rather than discouragement or predictability or whatever it is? It's Pentecost, folks. This is the day that the church celebrates the coming of the Spirit. But it's Pentecost every day, because the Spirit is always present, always here. So what I want to do, we're going to sing a hymn. That's the predictable bit in a minute. You can all relax. David's going to stop talking. But we're going to sing in a bit, but not straight away, because I'm just going to stop. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit, who is present, just kind of blows through us, blows through our hearts, through our minds, does what he wants, speaks to who he wishes, challenges who he wishes to challenge, equips who he wishes to equip. So are you okay if I just do that? I'm just going to pray, God, Holy Spirit, come. I'm going to leave it silent for a minute or so. Let's ask him to do what he wishes. Holy Spirit, come. Wind of the Spirit, blow through our lives, blow through the congregation. Have your way. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to say two or three things quickly. Some of you may have felt a kind of fluttering in your heart during that time. Well, just respond to that. That's probably the Holy Spirit just encouraging you or challenging you. Some of you maybe even have kind of seen things or had some words come to you. Then that's great. That's probably to be shared with somebody. So that'd be great. And also, I just had the notion. And I'm really not sure about this, but I just think there's probably three people who have the potential or even have come alive spiritually this morning in a way that you've not come alive before. And if that's you, I'd just love you to say hi. And that was me down at the gate when we shake hands and so on. But I think, you know, God at work within us. Let's go for that. And funnily enough, we're going to stand and sing now, and the first lines are, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." So, quite appropriate, eh? Let's sing it like we mean it.